1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye, that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, and 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam the son of Solomon. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. May God bless this, the reading, the preaching, the hearing, the believing, the learning and obeying of his holy word. Well, in thinking about what to preach for this evening service, as I was thinking about what to preach for the morning service, neither of the texts or topics were exactly what I had in mind, but as I kept seeking out the Lord, I felt he directed us in this direction. In light of recent local and national events that I'm mostly alluding to and wanting to just bring some wisdom for us to meditate on, this text came up while I've been thinking about that. It actually came up this week during our family devotions. And I hadn't thought about it, but as I kept praying and thinking about where the Lord would have me go, this text kept returning to me as incredibly relevant to meditate upon. How should the civil government respond to protests? Carefully. Cautiously. Meekly, humbly, to keep things from exploding. There is no need to throw fuel on certain fires that would otherwise go out on their own. I submit this to you as the main idea of our text. It's a little longer than usual, but here's what I submit to you as the main idea of what we're looking at tonight. Government leaders, I am connecting it with a theme and an idea of a topic, by the way. It's not as exegetical. You could argue I should go deeper, but I give it to you mainly tonight in light of recent events. Forgive the interruption. Government leaders should be conciliatory rather than retaliatory in response to a national appeal with reasonable, peaceful appeasement so as to calm down avoidable rebellion, violence, and division. I think that's fair to draw that from the text for thinking about in light of recent events. I repeat, government leaders should be conciliatory rather than retaliatory in response to a national appeal with reasonable, peaceful appeasement so as to calm down avoidable rebellion, violence, and division. We started with unity in this text. Look at verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. All of the tribes of Israel had come and gathered to make Rehoboam king as the rightful heir to Solomon's throne. In chapter 11, Solomon had just died. Rehoboam is the next son. All Israel had come, but that all quickly went down to one tribe out of 10 tribes. One tribe with 10 tribes going the other way. Why does the number 11? Because remember, the Levites didn't have their own land and group, so to speak. They dwelt in the cities. So all the tribes go down to one tribe now. And the 10 other tribes are going to leave his kingdom so quickly. But they started in unity. Verses 16 to 17 of our text. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So now Rehoboam was king over all Israel, all the tribes of Israel. Now he's only king over Judah, an important place where Jerusalem is, where the temple is. Nonetheless, he went from all to one tribe like this. He went from unity to division quickly. And it also created perpetual rebellion. Look at verse 19. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Why? Why did this happen? Well, let's look back where it all started, verses 3 to 4. That they sent and called him. The people called And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. Notice, we'll serve thee. But please, take it easy on us. Please, give us a lighter, more reasonable service. It's too much. We're going to serve you, but please, make it a better, more reasonable kingdom to serve under. They're appealing to him. They lamented and they appealed for more leniency in his reign than the tough guy approach of his father. How did he respond to the people? Well, we see the first part of his response in terms of getting counsel, thinking about how he would respond. He seeks counsel from two different groups of people. First, look at verses 6 through the first part of verse 8. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servant forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him. Rehoboam ignored the wise advice of experienced senior statesmen who said, speak good words to them. Speak nicely and kindly to them. Serve them. Remember, you're a public servant and you're supposed to serve the people in your office. Don't think of them as here to serve you. You're here to serve them. Speak good words. And then they'll serve you all the days of your life. Speak peace. Speak reassurance. Unite the people. Instead, he didn't like this advice. So he sought other advice. He sought to get the advice he wanted. The second part of verse 8 through verse 14. He consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer the people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little fingers shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. He wouldn't listen to the people. Wasn't interested in serving them. Didn't want to speak peacefully. He spoke roughly, you see. He pursued the advice that he wanted from young, inexperienced yes men, cronies, who spoke rough, threatening words to dominate the people. And what was the result? Verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the sons of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. What was the result? The people did not serve him. They rebelled against him. They revolted, and they left. So Rehoboam started with all of them in one kingdom united, and briefly, in just a few days, He divided the kingdom because of his foolish arrogance. He divided the kingdom by his divisive words and his divisive attitude, and acting as if they were there to serve him when he was there to serve them. Now, I do want to give this aside and this disclaimer. All of this was the will of God to punish King Solomon. I'm going to only briefly mention, and you can look up later if you like, but verses 15 and verses 21 to 24 point out that this was from God. This was something he had prophesied in chapter 11, verses 9 to 10, verses 11 to 13, verses 26 to 40 of chapter 11. Why? Because King Solomon had gone to idolatry by going to many foreign women, and he had not obeyed God. Actually, it says God had appealed to him, had come to him in a revelation twice to get him to stop, and he wouldn't do it. Seems like maybe a little bit of like father, like son then. So God said, I'm going to send Jeroboam, and I'm going to give him most of your kingdom. I'm only going to let you have Judah, and that's only because of David. But the rest of the kingdom I'm going to send away. Now think about, it's just the second generation of the kingdom going into the third. And he says, the only reason I'm delaying it, I won't take it from you directly, I'll take it from you with your next son as king. So this is all from God. This is a judgment upon Solomon, and that needs to be recognized. Nonetheless, the means that God used to divide the kingdom was Rehoboam's divisive spirit and speaking. Not only did his rough, angry, retaliatory way cause a rebellion and the loss of 10 tribes. What else did it do? One of his men was killed. And he had to flee away fast. Verse 18, he had to try to hide and protect himself. Verse 18, then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. There is a way to have wise leadership to try to preserve and protect a people, maybe sometimes even from themselves when it gets out of control. And if it isn't out of control, to preserve that peace and work with it. And I submit to you these two Bible verses I'll next read to you. They're written for leaders of a church, but I think they would be appropriate for all leaders to heed when needing to bring correction and direction to a people in the civil sphere of life. Excuse me. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, not all of that second verse applies directly to what I'm trying to talk about, but the way that the leaders are to respond to a people when there are difficulties or troubles is significant. We are responsible for our responses, and how we respond has a lot to do with the next response, especially when we are leaders, especially when we are leaders over millions of people in the highest offices. Now, again, another disclaimer. There are times when Moses and Jesus were very tough and harsh with the people, and they were not sinning when they responded that way. But when they did, just as with God, it came after a long, long period of patient efforts to persuade. We should always seek to dissipate rather than escalate. We should always seek to diffuse rather than ignite. And the difference will have to do with whether we actually are interested in serving, in listening, something Rehoboam refused to do. We should always seek a soft answer. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. How many times have you and I thought of that proverb later and said, oh, now I'm paying for it? Well, may the Lord teach us and help us humble ourselves and grow in thinking of these things, because we all have our different areas where we are called to lead. And this is something we need a lot of help with, because when you find yourselves in these kinds of situations, it's not easy. We have to remember these things, that the Lord would use them in the Spirit to help us have self-control, to lead others who could be out of control or might be if we don't handle it well, especially at larger, broader levels. Beloved, may we pray our nation's leadership at every level will avoid having an embarrassing Tiananmen Square incident. Described, as I continue, mostly verbatim from the UK's online newspaper called The Independent. Beijing, China, June 4th, 1989. Hundreds of civilians were killed by the 200,000-strong People's Liberation Army in a brutal crackdown on students, pro-democracy protesters, that sent shockwaves around all the world. The military had been called in after the governing Communist Party of China declared martial law in the famous capital. They declared martial law in the capital, seeking to end 6 weeks of nationwide demonstrations. 1 million Chinese youth had occupied the famous landmark to stage hunger strikes and call for an end to state corruption, greater transparency, and increased civil liberties following the death of a reform-minded party leader. So they were responding to the fact that a leader in this party seeking civil rights was killed. It doesn't sound so different from a lot of things in our nation's history not so long ago. I continue. The Soviet Union's president, Mikhail Gorbachev, was about to visit, so there was pressure to clear the streets. Too often there's more of a concern to save face and present something that isn't real. After initially trying to use nonviolent methods to disperse the demonstrators and then telling them they had 1 hour in which to leave, members of the 27th Group Army opened fire on the crowd with automatic rifles just 5 minutes later. Snipers rained down bullets from rooftops. Troops bayoneted the injured, and armored personnel carriers rolled in, many of which ran over students who had linked arms to form human chains. The bodies were cleared away by bulldozers for incineration, and blood was hosed into the gutters. The wounded were raced to hospital in bicycle rickshaws. While the CPC insisted the massacre was necessary to avoid a counter-revolution riot, then U.S. President George W.H. Bush denounced the violence, and Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher said she was shocked and appalled. China officially, they won't talk about it now, they won't acknowledge it happened. But China officially recorded the number of dead as no more than 300, while the Chinese Red Cross on the ground said it was more like 2,700 dead. Peaceful protesters. But Sir Alan Donald, Britain's ambassador to China at that time, said the death toll was likely much higher, probably something like 10,454 people were slaughtered. Beloved, thank God, this is not communist China. May we not have Rehoboam magistrates. Our people should be courteously listened to and peacefully spoken to and sought to be united as one nation under God. Conciliation should be the default, not domination. Just as elders are not to lord it over the flock, 1 Peter chapter 5, government leaders are put there by God to serve the public. And that's what the elder statesman experience said. Just remember you're here to serve them. Speak to them as their servant and they'll serve you. Speak soft words, speak peacefully. Government leaders need to remember they are put there by God to keep the peace, to receive, to unite, not have a disposition and a default to divide. If public protests are not received and people are not reassured with wise leadership, they may end in unnecessary unrest and revolt, as we see from our text this evening. This text is an example of what not to do so as to avoid the same consequences. It's not justifying killing Rehoboam's servant. It's not justifying certain kinds of rebellion. But what it is saying is if you want to avoid that, there's a way to do it. It teaches us that when it is approached and when it is appealed to by its people, responsible government must show respect and restraint. And that is the message for you this evening. And may we pray for it for our nation at every level of leadership. Responsible government must show respect and restraint. And that would be seen in how the elder statesman gave advice that it should be seen in listening and in serving. It could have had, although we know it's in God's providence with the punishment of Solomon, it could have had quite a different result. Responsible government must show respect and restraint. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do pray for our magistrates. We pray for our leaders in every office, high and low. We acknowledge it is a difficult place to be. Many of us, myself included, wouldn't want the job. It can be dangerous. It can be difficult and painful, a struggle. It requires people who are really willing to serve. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless our leaders to be there for the people, to be there to be humbly serving and living up to the moment and leading unity, leading in peace, listening, developing a conversation, not seeking to divide and dominate. O Lord God, we pray for wisdom. We pray that you, Holy Spirit, would breathe through all areas of our nation, especially through Washington. It is an incredible time, but we know that times like this have happened all through human history, and they will until the return of Christ. We thank you for your leadership, Lord Jesus, that you call us to come to you. We who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. So, Lord, we pray we would call all people to you, the great shepherd of the sheep, that we would hear your voice and respond to you. Forgive us how we all sin in our areas of leadership. We all can be tempted to not listen and not serve. Humble us, Lord, that you would thus lift us up and that your nation, our nation here, would be lifted up, truly one nation under God, and that that would be under Jesus Christ and his law for our land. We recognize there are times to shake things up. We recognize, O Lord God, that there are times for rebuking, but there is so often a need to be so very careful in how to respond to something like this that we see in our text tonight. And we pray, O Lord, that you would indeed guide the heart of our kings, particularly considering that we, the people, are in some ways that king. And our leadership reflects who we are. Oh Lord, we pray that you would bring righteousness to reign. We pray that King Jesus would be lifted up before all the people, that people would be saved looking to him on the cross and looking to him as the resurrected Lord, as the King of Kings, to serve. We do hear your call. We thank you that you were the suffering servant on the cross to bring us peace. And so we respond in thankful service to you. And we do pray that you would raise up godly Christian leaders in every area of civil life as well as church. Lord, that you would give us wise people who read their Bibles, who pray, who ask for forgiveness of sins, that they would be quick and ready to forgive others, to know your mercy, that they'd be quick to offer your mercy, to be thinking and understanding that you alone are the anointed one. Almighty God, we do pray for our nation, especially as the epicenter of so many things happening. We pray for the nations of the world. Pray that many would come and have the be able to come to the tree of life for the healing of the nations. For only under your leadership will we ever have true peace. O Lord Jesus Christ, you who are the Prince of Peace, the only lasting government upon your shoulders. You call upon us to pray for our magistrates. Let us pray without ceasing and pray that they hear your word and pray that your spirit helps them to hear and believe, and be saved, and to be true servants after the example of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And we close praying as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we close with this worship service with the benediction, we will bless the Lord once more, praying that he does bring salvation to all the nations. Psalm 67, page 133. Please turn there with me. Psalm 67, page 133. Da 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 da. Lord, bless and pity us. Shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. Let people praise thee, Lord. Let people all thee praise. Oh, let the nations be glad, in songs their voices raise. Thou'lt justly people judge, on earth rule nations all. all praise thee, Lord, let them praise thee, both great and small. The earth her fruit shall yield, our God shall blessings send. God shall us bless, men shall him fear, unto earth's utmost end. Please remain seated, but receive the blessing of the Lord God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.